A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the light of the world, says the Lord. Whoever follows me will have the light of life.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't this the one who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is. Others said, no, he just looks like him. He said, I am. So they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He replied, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So when the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see, he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see. So some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, His parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
"I am the light of the world," says the Lord. "Whoever follows me will have the light of life." For those of us familiar with the verse of the song, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see," we then are able to identify very well with this man who was born blind, who on this fourth Sunday of Lent is presented to us as a type of those who are born into darkness, which is equivalent to a state, a condition of original sin, the whole human race, and then also as a type of one who is regenerated, born again of water and spirit. And this is significant at this time of the year and this season of Lent, because for those who are presently preparing themselves to be born again, to be baptized into the mystery of the death and the rising of the Lord Jesus, the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, this marks the week of the second scrutinies. And as we see this scene of the gospel, Jesus, in approaching, as they're passing by, they see this man who was born blind. The question arises, giving us insight as to the mindset of people then, and unfortunately still in the mindset of many today, that when a person was born with a malady, some defect, physical defect, be it blindness, being crippled, lame, some type of deformity, that was in some way related to the fact that they either themselves sinned, they were being punished for something they had done, or someone in their family, such as their parents. Hence the question, "Lord, for whose sin is he being punished, his own or his parents?" And Jesus very quickly says, "For neither." For such God allows so that his works, his glory, might be manifested through. And so we see here the gospel presenting us with imagery. The reading of God's word today is giving us imagery of light and darkness. Those who are blind, those who can see. Now, we may say, well, Father, I have natural vision. I can see. I may not be as good as I was 20, 30 years ago, but I can still see. Yes, we can. But what Jesus is calling us to bear in mind is the spiritual blindness that all of us are in a process of moving from. And so as we hear the first reading from the first book of Samuel, here Samuel being instructed by God to go to the house of Jesse of Bethlehem, for I am going to choose my king from amongst his sons. Notice how it plays out. The father doesn't even regard his younger son as worth anything. He leaves him out in the field with the sheep, and he brings all the ones that he, albeit he doesn't know, but the prophet is coming nevertheless. And so we see how it plays out. Even Samuel himself has to have his own mind reoriented, his own way of looking. He's certain when he sees Eliab come in front of him, he says, "Aha, this is the anointed, this is the one." And the Lord says, "Oh no, you're judging by appearances. That's how the humanity sees. I'm looking into the heart. I have not chosen him." And so he says, "Is this all the sons you have?" "Well, there's one more." He said, "Well, get him. We cannot start until he comes." And then as soon as David makes his appearance, the Lord immediately tells, "There he is, the one, a youth, handsome and ruddy in appearance. Go and anoint him." He takes the horn with the oil and he pours it. And immediately we're told the Spirit rushes upon David. Rushes upon him. What an encouragement this is. And I hope our young people in this community are listening very carefully to this word. That the youth of the community of today can be used by God in a mighty way. So very often we tend to dismiss our children, put them on and let them go. And then, oh, let them, they're always this, let this, Father, let them go. Let them do this and do that. Oh, but look at the Lord. Go and get that youth. Bring them to me. And we even see how the little ones go forth for the liturgy of the word. You see their enthusiasm and they're having a good time up in there. I heard a little bit of their conversation as I was moving with the gospel book. I said, I almost want to invite them in here to give us some insight as to what they're gaining up in there. But of course, everything in its good time. But we also gained some more insight today. How many parents in relationship to their children, perhaps they are dealing with a challenging child in the family from birth, maybe something. A condition, be it of the mental state of mind, it could be something physical, and all, and the parents somehow are feeling themselves to blame for it, or even the child might blame, or somebody in the community. Everybody's looking to point a finger and blame as to figure out why it is that this child is suffering this or that. And yet we're being told today by Jesus, no, not at all. Bring this to me. Let me have. Come to me with whatever the malady might be. Let me take care of it. Let me anoint it. And what happens? The works of God are manifested. Possibilities beyond anything are realized. We see this often. So this is a word that's encouraging for all of us today, from the eldest to the youngest. But let us look at the way this happens. Jesus does something ordinary, but in an unusual way. He takes saliva, mixes it with the dust of the earth, and forms a clay and rubs it into his eyes. He says, "Now go, wash in Siloam," which means sent. So now we have the one sent by God directing another to go and be washed. He's obedient. He goes, and we're told immediately his eyes, he's able to see. Could you imagine what this must have been like to be born blind? And for the first time, even when Jesus speaks about himself as the light of the world, he hasn't even seen light before to even know what that is. But to see it all in one moment, wow. And with that, he becomes the center of attention and controversy. So the scrutinies begin. First, the neighbors. "Isn't this the one who used to sit out and beg? Wasn't he the blind man? Oh, no, he just looks like him. Well, which is it? Is he the same or is he different? It's both and, for he himself says, I am. The only other time in the Gospel of John when someone other than Jesus uses the divine revelation of ego eimi, I am. For once this man washed in those waters, he now has a communion with the divine life of God, which Jesus brings to the world. We see in this person the reality of baptism and also confirmation. For the adult that's brought into the church for the first time, being born again, they receive all three sacraments of initiation: baptism, first communion, and confirmation, the strengthening. We hear how the Spirit rushed upon David after being anointed with the oil. It's interesting. David was in the fields with the shepherd. He was shepherding the sheep. You know what the shepherds do with their sheep? Especially when they have all these bugs, these gnats, and all these mosquitoes. You know what they do? They take the oil, and there's a balm, and they rub it upon the faces of the sheep so that it serves as a shield, as a protection. They don't like it. In the same reality, when a person is baptized, oil is anointed. They are anointed with the oil. As Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king, there is the oil of the chrism on the crown of the head, but before that, there is the oil on the breastplate of the person to strengthen them, to anoint, to highlight the dignity of a body which God has established. Jesus, using the elements of this earth, coupled with the humanity he has assumed and the power, the divinity that he has, what is he showing us? A new creation is being established, and this man is the fruits of it. He represents all of us in here. And so as the interrogation goes, he stands fast, and then they bring him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, all we know them, they are the ones who love to practice the letter of the law so meticulously. These men so proud of themselves. Tell us now, what happened here? And he tells them again, word for word, exactly, for he can speak from nothing other than his experience. All I can say to you, I was once blind and now I can see. I went and I washed, as he said, and now I can see. What is it? Do you want to be this man's disciple? Well, they took offense at that. What? We are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke from Moses, but we don't know who this guy is. Who is he? This is what's amazing to me. How is it that you don't know? He's testifying, he's speaking with boldness, and they don't like it one bit. How is it you, born in sin, you're going to teach us now? They threw him out. And that was what Jesus was waiting for. So Jesus goes and finds him, and he begins to ask him some questions, much like we will hear questions on Easter Sunday, renewing our baptismal promises. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? That I might believe in him. I am he, the one who is speaking with you. And we're told he worshiped. And then Jesus proclaims the judgment. I am the one who has been sent into this world, so that those who are blind might see, and for those who see might become blind. We have to understand that one of the dynamics of being baptized, being claimed by Christ, and living in the light of that reality, committing ourselves to be the child of the light, we must recognize that we're going to be up against it. There are people in this world who are greatly invested in keeping others in the dark. They want you and I to believe this is all there is to this life. There's nothing else. They're making a lot of money. Believe me, they are. But Jesus reveals the truth. And this man stands fast. And he repeats what happened based on his experience. And he suffers as a result of it. He's ostracized by the neighbors. His own parents reject him for fear of being cast out from the synagogue. And the Pharisees throw him out. And God picks us up and gives us something worth more than we could ever have imagined. This is a time for us all. This is the midway point of the season of Lent. Maybe we've been floundering. Maybe we haven't even felt like we've gotten into Lent yet. Okay, today is a day. Bring the insecurity to the Lord. Bring the issue, whatever it is, the family circumstance, whatever it is, lay yourself before him. You heard the beautiful hymn by the heavenly chorus today. Shackled by a heavy burden. And all this, and then he touched me. And all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened. Now I'm found. Oh, yes. This is a word for us today. It's for us to consider, how have we been perceiving things? How are we seeing this reality of this world? Are we only seeing the surface of things? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit enlightens, it illuminates our consciences, which were very greatly distorted when we were born into the condition of sin. But this man is speaking in a way that's just amazing. His humility and his strength of purpose as he stands before them and he says what he has to say. And Jesus affirms this. He confirms this. Is he different? Is he the same? He's both the same and he's different. Yes, he's the same man that entered that water and washed, but he's different in that now he's in communion with the living God. And now he is one who is sent to be light to those who are still in the dark. For whatever reason, this is not a time for judgment. This is a time for opening ourselves to the one who says, I am the light of the world. No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness. So today, we heed the word of Jesus. We see the movement of grace, the action of God's love, his salvation. In this man representing all of the human race. And let us hear him say to us, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. God love you.